Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's something happening here, but what it is.
The FBI is the lead investigative agency, and we're investigating this as an attack of terrorism, along with our partners. Today at approximately 3:15 a.m. Central Standard Time, an individual drove a pickup truck into a crowd on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, killing at least 10 individuals and injuring dozens more. After hitting the crowd, he exited the vehicle and fired upon local law enforcement. Law enforcement returned fire and the subject was pronounced deceased at the scene. Two law enforcement officers were injured and transported to local hospitals.
This is Alethea Duncan of the FBI, the woman who in the first press conference they did yesterday morning early at 7 a.m. Had said that it was not terrorism, which we all said what it's not. But, you know, I understand the caution. You don't want to say something is until you know, because the mayor had already said that it was. So then they changed the tune pretty quickly by the 1 p.m. briefing. They were saying that it was being investigated as an act of terrorism. 10, now 15, although they haven't, I don't think they've given a press briefing since 1 o'clock yesterday. I have, you know me, I'm pretty supportive of law enforcement, but you've got to do well, and there's a lot of not done well surrounding all of this. We'll get to that in a moment. But for now, simple facts of the case. We have an identity.
The subject has been identified as 42-year-old Samsud Dim Jabbar, a U.S.-born citizen from Texas.
And as always, be dragged to the conclusion by the evidence, but when you hear the name, it confirms everything that you might have suspected about the nature of this attack. You know, could it have been white supremacism or white domestic, you know, racist based, you know, domestic terrorism? Of course. But it turns out to be obviously an extraordinarily Middle Eastern kind of name. 42-year-old Texas based, you know, born U.S. citizen. And it gets worse because it's not just that he drove this, you know, Ford truck from Texas, but also
an ISIS flag was located on the trailer hitch of the vehicle, and the FBI is working to determine the subject's potential associations and affiliations with terrorist organizations.
So what did I say yesterday when this was all kind of breaking news? I said, you know, and even David Wayne had said, you know, it looks like an ISIS flag, but let's not jump to a conclusion because other black flags with white writing are possible. You know, a lot of things you could jump to the conclusion on, but let's not jump until we have better evidence. And, well, I don't think we're jumping anymore to say, well, clearly this is terrorism. You know, your average Texan doesn't drive around a white truck, pickup truck, drive through Bourbon Street with an ISIS flag on the back with that name, right? That just doesn't happen by mistake, by coincidence.
Weapons and potential improvised explosive devices, IEDs, were located in the subject's vehicle. Other potential IEDs were also located in the French Quarter. As of now, two IEDs have been found and rendered safe. The FBI Special Agent Bomb Technicians, as well as our local law enforcement partners, have been working to determine if any of these devices are viable, and they'll work to render those devices safe.
So in case you're having trouble keeping track of it, that means that there were bombs in the car, and there were also bombs planted, the pipe bombs is what it sounds like in from other reporting, in like coolers around the French Quarter. Some reports indicate a woman and three men identified in some videos as being planting those devices. So this is not a lone act. That's why they said that it was not alone, and they were working on those leads.
The FBI, we are working with our partners to investigate this as an act of terrorism. We're aggressively running down all of the leads to identify the possible subject's associates. We're working to ensure that there is no further threat.
Well, you can't say there's no further threat because even though the one assailant is dead, the others haven't, as far as we know, even been found, and we don't know if even those are all of them.
We do not believe that Jabbar was solely responsible. We are aggressively running down every lead, including those of his known associates. That's why we need the public's help.
So that portion of the press conference was fairly good. And then the governor got involved. And I don't know Governor Jeff Landry. Never paid any attention to him. He's not a name I even know particularly. I have a lot to say about this press conference itself aside from the incident. The short version of my assessment of this press conference is that it was an absolute disaster. Once you got past her part, and actually once you got past Senator Kennedy's comments, which were actually quite good, I thought. I'll play those in a second. This is everything you could possibly do wrong in a press conference they did wrong. They had a whole bunch of people. There was confusion over who was supposed to speak. They tried to close off the press conference real quick after three questions, and there was uproar, and then they backed off. It was awful to watch because it doesn't give the impression of competence. It doesn't give the impression of capability. It gives the impression of exactly what everybody's afraid of right now is, well, could there be something else? Could there have been something else? Who else was involved? Well, we don't know. And the governor trying to say,
we want to make it clear. The Superdome and the surrounding area is safe.
How do you know that?
But I've always said that the safety of this entire city is something that is always paramount to me.
You have an unknown number of collaborators at large, an unknown risk matrix. You don't know anything, but even after 6 hours later, you're trying to tell me that you know the Superdome is safe? Now, inside might be, okay? But the kind of some of the comments that he was making were just insane. This was later on. This is a little bit happened between then and here, but this is a little bit later on in the press conference. And again, they did, I think they did 7 a.m. I think they did an 11 a.m. I didn't watch the 11 a.m. Because the 1 p.m. was so full of material, I didn't need to. And I figured if it changed, whatever. But I don't think they've done one since. But this is the kind of stuff that took place in that press conference.
And for the citizens out there that were saying, well, man, do I really want to go to the Sugar Bowl tomorrow? I tell you one thing, your governor's going to be there.
Yeah, but inside with your detail doesn't reassure me compared to outside in the street with my friends while I'm waiting in line to go through security, right? That's not the same thing, because where's the real risk? Well, the risk is outside. I don't think anybody's all that concerned about inside. But, you know, you got 100 people waiting in line outside the perimeter. Yeah, you know, where's the crowd? Where's the danger? What did we see this time? But he went on.
That is proof, believe you me, that facility in this city is safer today than it was yesterday.
Oh, God. Well, of course it is. You just had a terrorist attack. That's like, you know, what I've always said is that on 9/12 was the safest time to fly had we been having planes in the air because everybody was on high alert. Well, of course it's safe for tomorrow because everybody's paying attention and you're going to double your police staffing. I mean, it just, like I said, weird comments that came from him. But I do want to give, there's a lot, okay? There's a lot. And, you know, how does it relate to here in Pensacola? Well, crowd safety is a massive concern, obviously, because we have things like Mardi Gras. We have parades. We have events that are going to be coming up. We talked to PPD yesterday, and we'll talk to them again today about, you know, what kinds of things they observe, what kinds of lessons learned, you know, what the risk is. And Mike Wood was great about this yesterday, and of course, and we do... We do things that apparently they weren't doing. More on that later. But I do want to give some credit to John Kennedy. Whenever John Kennedy's talking, there's one part of me that's like, oh, man, this is going to be very interesting. There's another part of me that's like, this is going to be a total train wreck because he's completely unpredictable. But I actually thought his comments in this case were very appropriate. Here's why. There's two acceptable approaches when it comes to an event like this from a press perspective. Approach number one is kind of... humble, understated confidence. Yes, we recognize that was a mistake. We're going to work on it. Here's what we're going to do. Nobody had that approach. The second approach is sort of, I don't know, arrogance, anger with confidence. Okay. You know, like you both have to have confidence. The key is to reassure the public. And I will tell you that their governor, Jeff Landry, if I am a New Orleans citizen or I'm a Louisiana, I am completely unreassured by. I hate to say it, but by their police chief, everything she said worked the other way for me, the mayor, and the governor. The only guy in this press conference that made me feel good was John Kennedy, because...
I wish I understood better why bad things happen to good people. If I make it to heaven, I'm going to ask. For those people who don't believe in objective evil, all you have to do is look at what happened in our city early this morning.
Absolutely right.
Here's what I want to ask from the federal government. Catch these people. Catch these people. And then tell the American people the truth.
So that's a bit of an odd tone, because he's already sort of putting himself at odds with the federal government, of which he is a part as a senator. But of course, the Biden administration is going to be in charge of this for, you know, another 3 weeks almost. But here, listen, I appreciate what he said.
Now, I don't want you to tell us yet anything that's going to interfere with your investigation.
Amen.
And there are things that I've been told that I think are true that I'm not sharing with you today because it could interfere with their investigation.
Good.
But after we get to the bottom of this, they need to tell the American people the truth.
That's correct.
I think the mayor and the governor are very wise to postpone this ball game for 24 hours. There's just too much stuff we don't know, and it's just not worth it.
Correct.
I will promise you this. I will, when it is appropriate and this investigation is complete, you will find out what happened and who was responsible. Or I will raise fresh hell. And I will chase those in the federal government who are responsible for telling us what happened, like they stole Christmas.
Now, he's got his own flair for expression, right? But that's, I mean, I want somebody to be angry. Now, I want him, and I think he is, angry at this point, they hadn't really announced, you know, everything. But, they announced a lot. Angry at the perpetrators. Angry at terrorists, angry at ISIS, all of that, yes. Anger at the people who, you know, had not yet been found. But also an assurance that, okay, we're going to delay telling you some stuff, including some stuff I know that I can't say, he's saying, right? But trust me, in the end, we will tell you, you will know, because we just want to make sure we don't interfere with the investigation, we create safety first. But we're going to make sure that you get all the information, all the answers on this, no matter how embarrassing it is for anybody. Or else, good. That's good. Now, outside of those comments, the information by Lethe Duncan and the kind of strident comments by John Kennedy, the rest of this press conference was a total debacle. It was abysmal. And not just what they did say, what they didn't say, what they wouldn't say. I mean, there was, I'll give you just, you know, one example of this. After about three questions where they were asking very normal questions, what reporters ask kind of questions, some guy who did not identify himself, who might have been like the public affairs guy, maybe for the governor, I'm not quite sure. He wasn't even really on camera, but he kind of steps forward and...
Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to just have more of the same as the governor just said, we're going to provide that information, but we're going to wrap the press conference now.
Hold on.
Let me finish. You weren't listening.
You weren't listening? Oh, man. Wrong approach.
You weren't listening. If all of the questions are more of the same, what the governor just said in position, we won't be doing that to provide that information. And if you have a quick different question,
mine's different.
Then let's do that quickly and move on. Okay.
My question.
Hold on. Oh, my God. Oh my God! Did you watch this press conference this 1 p.m.?
Oh, I actually did.
Am I wrong? Am I missing?
No, you're not wrong at all. I was, yeah.
And you know, there was one part where the woman asked a question, and Landry's like, "Well, why would we tell you that?"
Exactly.
Good Lord, people. And I will say, I'm not getting into the details on like the bollards and the wedges. The wedges are those like, I don't know how to describe it. The wedges. Right, you take a street. And you put metal on big metal stanchions on either side, and then there's this giant wedge that lifts and lowers. We saw them all the time at the RNC and the DNC. It's a physical barrier. You've seen them if you're in DC, you know, that's and other major cities. It's a physical barrier so trucks and cars can't drive through, but it's metal, so it's retractable. It goes up and goes down. They spent a fair amount of time talking about the bollards and the wedges. oh, this is bad. This is really, really bad for New Orleans Police Department. But like I said, we'll get to that a little bit later. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. He was an Army veteran. He had been deployed to Afghanistan. He was an IT chief for the 82nd Airborne Division, 1st Brigade Combat Team. He discharged as an Army Staff Sergeant, had been in the reserve. At some point, obviously, radicalized. And it's a horrible story. Every part of this is horrible, including that we have now 15 people dead and dozens others wounded and a whole city and a nation that's concerned about public gatherings and events. And what else can I say? We said a lot of this yesterday. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
VapoCool! Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
Good morning, 528, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Somebody texts in and says, Andrew, you should probably be cautious about criticizing the information response from New Orleans. It's hard to figure out how to handle these things. It's hard to deal with that many upset, frustrated people after a major atrocity. I don't call them tragedies. Tragedies are things you suffer. Atrocities are things that are done. I don't like the word tragedy in connection with these kinds of incidents. If you know somebody did it, that's an atrocity. That's not a tragedy. But that's a quibble about language. You know, be cautious about criticizing them until you've done this. I am, but it's literally their job to do this and do this well. And there is all kinds of training and advice out there. And I know our law enforcement agents and, you know, information officers, they go through this training precisely so they can handle things like this and handle them effectively. And if you haven't had the training, it's still just, again, always just be a person, you know, admit what you don't know, be humble, be honest. You know, think in advance about the question somebody's going to ask and have answers and figure out who's going to answer that question. They're not really that hard of things to do effectively. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, boy, what a day yesterday. In addition to the New Orleans stuff, a Cybertruck blew up outside of a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. The driver that died when that Cybertruck blew up has now been identified as well, Andrew, as an Army veteran from Colorado. Law enforcement sources tell the New York Post that 37-year-old Matthew Livelsberger rented the Cybertruck that exploded there, and that was also rented off of that Turo.
That same platform, yes. That rented the Ford in Texas, right?
And so now the FBI is investigating that also as a possible terror attack.
By the way, in the trunk of that Cybertruck, you had gasoline, fireworks, mortars. You had all different kinds of explosives and incendiaries in there, and so it's hard. You know, at first I didn't want to draw a comparison, but same day, same company that rented them.
It's tough not to.
It's certainly very, very suspicious. Put it that way, very, very suspicious. David, thanks so much for the update. Fox News is up next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. New Orleans on high alert after the terror attack that kills at least 15 people, leaving dozens with injuries.
The alleged driver, 42-year-old Shamsou Denjabar, an Army veteran who at one point had deployed to Afghanistan. Police in Houston are searching what is believed to be the driver's home there. Investigators say an ISIS flag was found on the truck, and this is being investigated as a terrorist act.
Fox's Doug Luzzatto, the suspect killed in a shootout with police. President Biden convenes his national security team, speaks to the nation from Camp David.
The FBI is leading the investigation to determine what happened, why it happened, whether there was any continuing threat to public safety.
Tesla Cybertruck explodes outside the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas hours after what took place in New Orleans. The driver was killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. I'm David Wayne. It's News Radio 92.3. We've got clear skies, 41 degrees right now in Pensacola, and Escambia County man wanted for shooting his roommate on Christmas Day has now been arrested. 45-year-old Terrence Franklin is charged with aggravated assault and possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. Investigators say that Franklin shot his roommate twice with a shotgun after they got into some type of an argument. The victim had serious injuries but is expected to recover. Franklin was booked into the Escambia County Jail yesterday. He's currently being held with no bond. An Atmore man was shot on Monday by an attacker using a rifle. That happened about 11 o'clock Monday morning on Ashley Street. Police say the victim was sitting in a vehicle when they were shot in a lower extremity. That person was taken to the hospital by EMS. Officials say they recovered about 20 .223 shell casings at that scene. Now, the Pensacola Beach Polar Plunge on Wednesday attracted hundreds of dippers and spectators at the Paradise Bar and Grill on the Santa Rosa Sound. Many of the attendees were dressed in costume. They went to the island to participate in this long local tradition. There were several other polar plunges as well. There were two events going on in Navarre and one at the Floribama in Perdido Key. A man's accused of plotting an attack on a Jewish organization in Florida. Court documents released Monday show Forrest Kendall Pemberton was arrested last week for targeting the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. The FBI says Pemberton had several firearms, including an AR-15 rifle. Court documents show that Pemberton told investigators he'd traveled to Plantation to find the IPAC office, but he changed his mind and gave up on that plan. Well, celebratory gunfire is being blamed for two deaths in Florida on New Year's Eve. Miami-Dade County, 10-year-old Yaneliz Munguia was hit in the head by a stray bullet. And in Osceola County, 56-year-old Carmen Akoa was killed at a home in Kissimmee. Police say Akoa and Munguia were each hit by stray bullets fired by someone celebrating the New Year. So far, no arrests have been made in either of those cases. 12 new laws took effect in Florida yesterday, including online protections for minors. Governor Ron DeSantis says social media platforms are now required to end accounts that belong to someone under 14. Anybody 14 or 15 can only keep social media accounts with parental consent.
with things like social media and all this, you know, you can have a kid in the house, safe seemingly, and then you have predators that can get right in there.
The law adds fines and civil liabilities for social media sites that knowingly violate the law, but no accounts are being shut down this week. The state will not be enforcing the law because there are two lawsuits currently trying to block it based on First Amendment rights and age verification. It's 5:35. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Beautiful sunny skies today with a temperature near 61 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 43 degrees. Keeping the sunny skies around through Friday with a few passing clouds, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 61. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 35 degrees. On Saturday, sunny skies with a high near 54. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 42 degrees in Pensacola, Gulf breeze, and a little bit cooler. We've got 37 reported in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. At least one person is dead and several others injured after a Tesla Cybertruck exploded and burst into flames just outside the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. Police said the blast is being investigated as a possible terrorist attack. Tesla shares are down 3%. The fate of Nippon Steel's planned acquisition of U.S. Steel rests with President Biden, who has until January 7th to decide. Nippon Steel has offered a 10-year guarantee to not reduce production capacity at mills in Pennsylvania, Indiana, and more. The Japanese steelmaker also offered the U.S. government the power to veto any cuts to U.S. Steel's production capacity. That's according to Reuters. Apple is offering rare discounts of up to $6,850 on its latest iPhone models in China. This comes as the tech giant moves to defend its market share against rising competition from domestic rivals like Huawei. Futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 29. The S&P 500 down 25. That's Your Money Now.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Teachers shape the future. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change. And generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, at Barnes Feed Store.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
morning, 539 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. On New Year's Eve, we had a chance to talk to Chip Simmons, Sheriff Chip Simmons. No replay yesterday because we weren't here from 5 o'clock, but I thought there was a lot of really good information about several local incidents wanted to share with you, so we'll talk to him. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. We had a horrible story. A man was hit and killed by a train in, Atmore, Archer, Old Chemstrand kind of vicinity. Is that right?
Yeah. The report is that a train had seen someone, obviously, the last minute. They stopped, but you don't stop trains quickly. When I was at the Pensacola Police Department, this would actually happen quite often.
Off
Scenic Highway. Yeah. And we always wonder how you get hit by a train. They're loud.
Yeah.
And they've got a big light. And, sometimes people don't intentionally get out of the way.
I understand.
But we were caught up there, and unfortunately there was a deceased male underneath the train, and obviously had to work with a CSX railroad to get that person out. We're investigating it. We're working with the railroads and trying to identify the individual.
I always think that that's got to be an awful thing for a train conductor. You know, I think like the subway cases, all that kind of stuff. Just like, I know when somebody dies like in a car crash, it's awful. It's hard to get back in the car. But for those people, it's a horrible thing. You also had a, there was a fight last night. Is that right? A fracas?
We had a fight on Softly Pines Road. We got a report that a guy was attacking a woman who was in the car with a pipe. When we get there, he's talking what is termed as gibberish. We established that there was probable cause to make an arrest, obviously, with a pipe attacking a car. That's not cool. So we ended up trying to arrest the guy, and he hit us with a mop and took several deputies to subdue this, this particular individual. So
the woman's okay?
The woman is okay. And the deputies are okay.
People called. Several people called. That's
several
good.
Calls. Several
that's good?
Calls. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it also gives you an idea of how long it lasted and how obvious it was that this guy needed to be restrained. He was taken to the hospital to be checked out for what was described as minor injuries, and then he's taken to the jail with multiple felonies.
Wow.
All right. Attacking a woman, obviously it was in a car, and also fighting and attempting to injure at least the deputies.
Question. Certainly in that case, if I'm a bystander, I can intervene to stop him physically. If I feel it's safe to do so, I can intervene.
It is.
I'm justified.
It is reasonable to think that someone whose life is in danger, you can do that. We just ask that you be careful. I mean, sure. The guy's got a pipe. Don't injure yourself. Do whatever you can to keep everyone safe.
That was my next thought, is the way the situation is described to me, it sounds like her life is in danger. I'm justified in shooting him if I'm carrying.
I think that, again, considering where the individual is, what would a reasonable person believe could happen with a pipe? And I think, certainly if I'm in a car and you're attacking my car with a pipe, you may get one swing.
Yeah.
That's about it. So I think that, again, I hate to say, yes, you're good. No, you're not good.
Right.
But I think that again, we look at this reasonableness standard. And if you believe someone's life is in danger, then you can use
deadly force. Yeah. The reason it came up in my mind was I'm thinking, well, several people called. That means several people were seeing this happened, nobody intervened. Why didn't anybody intervene? Did nobody care? You know, those are the kind of questions that were going on in my mind. That's the only reason I asked.
Well, again, and I don't know either, but we can imagine there's some potential that swinging the pipe wildly or that sort of thing,
right,
trying to attack someone. And if there's no other way, I mean, unless you got a bigger pipe, it may be best to just let law enforcement take care of it.
You guys also had, it had been in northescambia.com, I know that we had one of the new Thrashers, I believe, the TH-73, the new helicopters from Whiting Field, which historically their helicopters do have mechanical problems and go down. That's not uncommon. But you had one that you guys had to respond to. Is that right over in, Atmore also?
Yeah, the Atmore cutoff. They had a military helicopter land because of mechanical issues. And I guess it's kind of scary the way you termed it, that those things go down. I don't know that I want to be in those when they go down. But these, I'm assuming if it's a trainer type thing, someone, there's a experienced pilot. But the bottom line is it was able to land over there behind I think it's a Tom Thumb up there. There's plenty of land up there.
Yeah, right, plenty.
To land on, as long as you don't land on 29.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, there were no injuries, and the military took care of the military stuff.
I'm again glad that, nothing really adverse happened. Speaking of things were at least attempted, back on Christmas Day, I think we had a You guys had a Terrence Franklin is wanted for an event that took place on Michael Drive on Christmas Day.
Yeah, this is the one, I believe, where he got into an argument with a family member and ended up shooting that family member and then fled the scene. So we have been looking for, you mentioned his name, James Franklin, Terrence James Franklin. He's born in 79. We've got him up on our social media platforms, wanted for attempted homicide. So if you know where Terrence James Franklin is, or where he may have fled to, please let us know, because we'd love to put him in jail.
This happened almost 2 weeks ago now, but it's a case that received a lot of attention, but you and I haven't obviously been on the air because I've been on vacation for a while. But the case with the Marine who was stationed at NAS Pensacola, and my understanding, I guess, is he, you know, contacted an escort, and then very bad things happened. And the investigation has produced a lot of really, awful details about this. Can you tell us some of what's going on in this case or what happened here?
Yeah, first of all, let me tell you that our deputies and investigators did a jam-up job getting on this pretty quickly. We first got a call that we'll call it a suspicious circumstance, but the lady was missing. The victim was missing. Mm-hmm. Her family and her friends noticed that the hotel door that she was staying in was left ajar. Her car was still in the parking lot. These things just weren't normal. When we get there, we noticed that, yes, the door was ajar. But there's also her phones were still there, her keys were still there, the blanket from the bed in the hotel room was missing. Just some things that didn't look right. So we immediately started working it as not just suspicious, but we were working it as a potential homicide. Investigation, again, as I mentioned, our deputies did a great job. We located we identified at least a car that was in the parking lot at a given time. We tracked that back down to the military guy that you mentioned, Marine, and then we did more search warrants and more search warrants, and that led us to an area in Mobile, Alabama. We tracked that. Our detectives went over there and unfortunately found the deceased body of the missing female. Contacted Mobile Police Department. They helped us out with recovering the body from a ditch or a retention area. It was partially in the water. And then we also did some search warrants on this individual's phone, Ellington's phone, and found some really disturbing searches, some Google searches. What does a body look like after 2 days? What's dead body look like after 2 days? Can you scream if you're being strangled? Just some crazy, crazy.
How long? Things. Can you go before police are looking for you?
Yeah. Well, there's something about there was a search about how many homicides of or deaths of prostitutes go unsolved. It's so to us, clearly there was an intent. This is before he shows up at the hotel. There was a cord, I think it was a PlayStation cord that was left at the hotel room, and then we were able to figure out where he was going. He was heading up to. Up in Alabama,
okay,
up near, I guess, Talladega area, and it was central Alabama. And when they stopped him, they found the PlayStation minus the cord.
Okay.
So all these things were kind of fitting together. And the fact that he just, I say AWOL, I'm not sure what the official term was and how long he had to be gone from the military to be considered AWOL. But he wasn't on NAS where he was supposed to be, and he was heading on a bus to Opelika, Alabama. When again, we had notified their authorities and said, hey, we sure wish you would pick this guy up for us. He's there, and he's going to be extradited to Escambia County.
And you believe, based on the investigation, that the crime actually took place here, but the body was transported after?
That's correct. Okay. But we believe that she was killed in the hotel room and transported to Mobile. He had rented a car, the car that he was in. And then he returned to the base sometime later, and then he was on the run out from that point on.
And I think some people had been critical of you guys for releasing that she had been an escort, and I know Andy Hobbs had kind of addressed this previously, but to me, that's just, A, part of the fact pattern of the story, and B, part of the reminder that we have vulnerable people, that, you know, people had this, I don't know, that some people, some professions are more vulnerable than others. That's certainly one.
Yeah, I mean, we were very careful. There's some things that we don't do. We didn't identify when we found the body, we had a missing person. We didn't put that out yet. I mean, although we suspected that we were doing the investigation, we suspected that the missing person was the homicide victim that we found in Mobile, but we didn't contact the family yet. So some members of media, some members of other agencies put the information that, they connected it to.
I see. Okay.
And so that did happen. But we do, we try to be as transparent as possible. And the fact that they were staying at a hotel and the fact that he was looking for an escort.
Yeah.
And the fact that we believe he took advantage of her being an escort. And again, he did a search, a Google search on what happens, you know, how many prostitutes are go unsolved, prostitute murders go unsolved. We think that was, we want to be clear with the public and what we're doing and how we're doing it. But keeping in mind as best we can that we do want to protect the identities of victims, and we want to not compromise the integrity of the investigation itself. So there was discussion on whether we add that. Yeah. There was discussion on whether we add the fact that that he was a military, an active duty military, because we certainly appreciate not one bad apple doesn't you know spoil the whole bunch.
It's thousands of people, out right. of which one.
Right. And but these two things were to us were important important part of the investigation. And so we wanted to make sure people understood what's going on at the throughout the investigation as best we can.
I appreciate that, and that's one of the things. You know, I'm often pretty deferential to you guys in terms of, you know, if you don't put out information, I'm not putting it out because caring for the victim, but also the compromising the integrity of the investigation, making sure that you're able to do your job. I know that's mission one, and you know if I'm like, as a news person, if I'm not helping you do your job, what am I doing? You know,
at the end of our release, and it said that it was complicated by the fact that people put the information, they put two and two together. you know, as open and transparent as we want to be, I think it's important for us to allow the investigators to do their job. There's a potential that because a connection was made and they mm-hmm. put out that there was a body found, that the suspect, who we already had, obviously, we had already seized his phone. We already tracked that phone, but through a search warrant. You know, when he knew that we had found the body, we felt like he would try to leave town, and to us, that would compromise the investigation, and it did. And luckily, our investigators were on top of it, and they found all other ways to locate this individual. But we weren't happy with the fact that the information was out, the identity was put out. And the fact that we were on to, you know, that level of the investigation, because again, it's our investigation. You should, in my opinion, allow us to do that, put the information out as we get it. We were hoping to, once we found the body, go ahead and pick him up. We weren't able to do that because the information was out. And then luckily, through good work, we were able to find him in Opelika, and now the authorities over there find him. That could have turned out much differently.
Wow. All right. Turning to some good things, although it's a good thing about a bad thing, but you know, you're doing this memorial plaza out in front of the sheriff's office, mm-hmm. and you're going to do a groundbreaking coming up on the 16th. Is that right?
That's correct. Our Skidmore County Sheriff's Foundation is footing the bill and handling this, and we certainly appreciate the work that they're doing. So there's no tax dollars going to go into this, even though I think you could probably use tax dollars for this. We are not. I think that I appreciate the work of the foundation, and we're going to have a groundbreaking, as you mentioned, on the 16th of January. Everyone's going to be invited. We'll probably put more information out. We've been already raising funds in earnest about trying to get this thing taken care of. It's a memorial plaza, mm-hmm. and it's not just a memorial. So I think that's going to be much larger, probably three times as large as the existing memorial, which we've already moved and relocated to our Cantonment or Molino precinct. So we're very excited about a new way to honor those who paid that ultimate sacrifice.
And you're doing a swearing in on Monday, so we'll have that take place. I know you're big. I know you don't love these formalities and events. I do have a question though. In advance, I know it's gonna put you on the spot a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Okay, but you had sat in with Brent on Cat Country doing the morning show on Friday. Right?
Yeah.
You sat in with him and kind of co-hosted with him. And of course, you're here with me most Tuesdays. Which show do you like better?
Well, I think the show that I'm on currently is my favorite today. And the one that it was on Thursday or Friday was also a favorite of mine.
At that time.
You can have two favorite children. It happens that way. You can have two favorite teams.
I'm not sure that's true, Dad, but you know.
Well, I'll tell you, the talk format is really good. Really, you guys do a great job. But you got country music playing over there, and if you play a little music in the background, you could really up your game. And it's probably against your little, your rules.
I was
here.
Just 100% curious how you would diplomatic this answer. So, Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip, thanks for all you do. Thanks for what you folks are going to be dealing with tonight. I know it's always a little bit of a hectic time on New Year's Eve. Thank you for the time, and we'll see you next Tuesday, I hope. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Y'all take care.
I hope. I love Chip so much. Oh, man. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I hope. I'm Andrew McKay.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
I deserve a reward. After all, I found our dream house.
Have a pickle.
Thanks.
But I found out how much the house was going to cost, Pastor John.
But I found us the perfect mortgage.
But then I found out the house had radon.
Ugh.
The radioactive gas that's the second leading cause of lung cancer.
Yeah, well,
I need two pickles.
I found the phone number to call, 1-800-SOS-RADON, where you can get all the information you need to test your home and fix a radon problem. I'd like some ice cream with this pickle.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Protect your family from radon. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. 1-800-SOS-RADON.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Is it wrong of me how much I really like Billy Squire?
No, you're perfectly normal.
But I also like Rick Springfield. What's wrong with me? 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Wait, hold on. I've been working on a list waiting for you to ask that question.
The what's wrong with me question?
Exactly, yeah.
Later. We'll get to it later. No worries.
Sounds good.
Coming up next after the news.
President-elect Trump will reportedly be holding a victory rally the day before his inauguration. His inauguration committee made that announcement yesterday. They say that'll be January 19th at the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. They'll also have several speakers as well. And the FBI says they disrupted a plot to kill employees of a pro-Israel organization the first night of Hanukkah. A Florida man, Forrest Pemberton, was arrested after traveling to their offices.
Listen on air at 92.5.